Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're breaking from our usual format this week to look back at some of the stories that we were thankful for in 2015. I'll start it off by talking a little bit about covering Governor Gina Raimondo. She certainly represents a sharp stylistic contrast from her predecessor, Lincoln Chafee. And from a journalistic perspective, I'm thankful for the opportunity to cover this unfolding story. Like any politician, the governor has both her critics and supporters, but she's bringing a more muscular messaging approach to state government in Rhode Island. She ran at a very early stage in her tenure as governor, but there are some glimmers of economic possibility in terms of the former 195 land, the hope that Wexford Science and Technology of Baltimore will develop a 1 million square foot mixed use development on 5 acres of land there. I think ultimately Governor Raimondo's political fortunes will very much rise or fall on her ability to improve Rhode Island's economy. What do you say, Maureen?
Actually, I agree with you. That would be one of the things that I would note in terms of stories we're thankful for. I have a slightly different twist in the sense that I really do think overall that her administration has moved the needle in the sense that we're not stuck anymore in terms of 195, and there's really a prospects for that thing, that development unfolding. Also in the economy, she's fortunate because the national economy is doing well. But nonetheless, it seems that some of her efforts are bearing fruit, and I'm optimistic about that. Moreover, you know, we talk about the fact that the longstanding problems in the bureaucracy with DCYF or DOT, well, they've been longstanding, and you know what? She's doing something about it. So I think it's a very interesting and refreshing administration. It's a story that's multiple stories that are worth following. And also, I'd like to add the fact that she happens to be a woman. It's a very robust, energetic administration, and she's standing tall, and I'm pretty impressed.
Scott, would you agree with Maureen that Governor Raimondo is having some success in moving Rhode Island off the dime? And what elements of her tenure are you thankful for?
Well, I think we're all thankful for an economy getting better, not because we care about those at the top, but it's better for people at the bottom. It's nice to have Thanksgiving, people able to sit down at their table with their families, have a job, have a little more money in their pockets. We're seeing this, as Maureen said, both nationally and locally. I don't know how much of this really is up to the governor or her administration yet, but we do know one thing about governors. They do tend to rise and fall, Ian, you're right, on the success or lack thereof of the economy. So what happens in politicians is they take too much credit for good times, and they try to run away from bad times. So I think that really what politics is about is setting the table so the economy can flourish. And I hope that Governor Raimondo and the legislature keep trying to push in that direction.
Well, in terms of the State House, another thing that I was thankful for this year was one of the fastest House budget votes in recent Rhode Island history. Normally, that's an all-night affair that wraps up around 3 or 4 in the morning, as you know, Scott. But this year, it was done, and I believe there was still daylight by the time the lawmakers adjourned. What does that tell us about Speaker Mattiello, Scott?
Well, I think there's a little bit of an era of good feelings going on at the State House right now. However, that's not total. As we saw, the whole truck tolling issue blasted apart just days after the budget was passed. So I think you're still seeing the usual chippiness at the State House, the welter of special interest and interest groups battling with each other. But it seems on the budget this year, when all the Republicans voted for it, you knew that it was a decent compromise.
Maureen, in terms of bumpy Rhode Island roads and potholes, do you expect that drivers will one day be thankful for smoother paths? And how do you see the outlook for Governor Raimondo's truck toll plan?
Well, I think it's probably going to pass. And my expectation would be that if they were wise, and I think there's talk of this, they're going to hold hearings in December. And one of the things they have to do is they're going to have to pass this legislation right away, A, before it unravels, and B, before it messes up another term in terms of the budget. In other words, if she can get this behind her and the leadership is behind it, then they can move on. And I've talked to legislators, and pretty much that's the expectation.
Time will tell if Maureen is right in terms of whether Governor Raimondo is moving Rhode Island off the dime. But in Rhode Island, it often seems as if the more things change, the more they remain the same. And certainly we have a number of evergreen stories like the ongoing saga saga of 38 studios. Another one is unfolding in the city of Providence, where there's a very sharp conflict between Mayor Jorge Lorza and unionized firefighters. There's a lot of money at stake here. The mayor is a former law school professor. So do you think he's made the right wager, Maureen, in expecting that a court will not leave the city owing millions and millions of dollars in accumulated overtime pay to the firefighters?
Well, I think it's a risky venture, but I think something had to be done, and I don't think at this point he had an alternative. Moreover, it's not about his legal expertise, it's about his political expertise, because these decisions are not made in a vacuum, and no court is going to make a decision that is going to ultimately bankrupt the city. So I would expect it's going to be a long path, but I expect we're going to see some light as far as resolving this problem.
Scott, some Providence voters were thankful when Alorza beat Buddy Cianci last year, but as we know, being mayor of a city with financial challenges like Providence is no easy thing. What do you see Mayor Alorza as having an opportunity to be thankful for this holiday season?
Well, I guess he's thankful he's mayor, I hope. There is some buyer's remorse on the part of a lot of Democrats, particularly those who've been around for a while in Providence, who wish that Mike Solomon, a much more seasoned political figure, perhaps not with the big brain of someone like Alorza, not as book smart certainly as Alorza, but someone with more experience who knows how to make a deal. And I think that he was able to work well with Mayor Taveras, and I think now Alorza is not working that well with the city council. He and Luis Aponte, the president of the council, are not always on the same page, as we've noted. And I think that firefighters are always going to be tough to deal with, because what makes them good firefighters, their teamwork and their solidarity, also, and they live together, also makes them a tough union to deal with.
Well, it's that moment you've been waiting for, our top Rhode Island political turkeys of 2015. I have to go with former House Speaker Gordon Fox for his betrayal of the public trust. And as we now know, he pleaded guilty to corruption and will be spending the next few years as the guest of the federal government, as Buddy Cianci likes to refer to federal prison. Who's your top turkey, Maureen?
Well, for the moment, my top turkey is Elaine Morgan, the senator, the Republican senator, who insisted that we should take refugees and put them in camps, and had some very derogatory things to say about Muslims. And
in fairness to Senator Morgan, she did say that she did not mean refugee camps. She meant immigration detention centers.
Well, in fairness to her, and one of the things I'm thankful for related to that was the thoughtful response of our religious leaders, who finally set some leadership here and changed the tenor of this conversation.
Who is your turkey, Scott?
Well, it's hard to beat Gordon Fox. I mean, it seems to me like he is going to be the number one turkey this year. But I'll have another short-term one. I think Karen McBeth and her committee, I really think this 38 Studios thing is not smart. And in fact, they ought to let the state civil case run by Max Wistow play out without interfering with it, because that's the best course we have to get some money back on this 38 Studios fiasco.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. There will be plenty more stories to be thankful for in 2016. And we're thankful for you for listening to us and our political roundtable each week. Thanks again, Scott.
Thank you.
And Maureen.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.